As I reported last night, the huge blackout that left tens of millions of people dark in many areas of South America over the weekend raised serious questions about the vulnerability of the power grid in South America and brought criticism down on Argentina's leader. Argentina went down, Uruguay, Paraguay, they all went down. It'll take 10 to 15 days to try to figure out just what the heck happened. But we've been talking for years with William Forstgen about our power grid, whether it could be taken out by an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse attack, a nuke detonated in the atmosphere, or a solar flare from the sun, or maybe even a hack. In a moment, Bill Forstgen joins us. His latest work, 48 Hours, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, William Forstgen back with us, PhD in history from Purdue University, specializing in military history. His secondary areas of study included the American Civil War and the history of technology. He has published more than 50 books and has been focusing on threats to our world's infrastructure for years. One Second After came out in 2011, One Year After 2016, 48 Hours just several months ago. And Mr. Forstgen, one of our favorite guests and a dear friend, welcome back to Coast.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I hope you are, too.
Yes.
You're still out there in Asheville?
Absolutely. God's country.
Well, you might be there again for another show next year.
Yeah. Are you contemplating a show for
Yeah,
next
we're
year?
Kicking that around. It's such a great city for us. And, I mean, they fill the stands and everything else.
It's a perfect place. It'd be great to have you out here again.
I love the people, too. Love the people. Tell me about 48 Hours, the book.
Okay, 48 Hours. Why don't I start with that one? I did three books related to EMP. As you mentioned, 1 Second After, 1 Year After, and then The Final Day. Publisher wanted more, but I really felt the whole issue of EMP, if I wrote anything beyond that, it just starts dragging it out.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
I wanted to work in something different. Initially, the work was on CME, which you and I have talked about before, solar storms.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a real nasty one out there called CPE, coronal proton emission or ejection, that if it hit us in a certain sequence, it would become an annihilation event.
It sure would.
And the whole 48 hours means we have 48 hours of notice that this is most likely going to happen.
That's it?
Well, yeah.
Hence the title.
And it has a plot device. It's a real threat. I don't want audiences worrying that, oh, my gosh, we've got 48 hours starting tomorrow. But the question became, what would we do individually and societally if we knew we might be at the end game, only 48 hours left? Some people would survive if they're in deep shelters. And then the plot moves into who gets to use the shelters.
That's right.
The shelters are built for what's called continuity of government.
The power elitists.
Which, in one sense, we understand if the sirens go off and there's like 200 missiles in tracking, you know, coming in, of course, they're going to get in there. There's not going to be time to deal with the rest of us. But if you have 48 hours and there's hundreds of thousands of people standing at the gates into these places and saying, what about us?
But what's left after that, Bill?
A full-blown CPE could be, boy, we're throwing around a lot of acronyms this morning. It could be an ELE, an extinction-level event. It could pretty well wipe out everything on the planet, and we'd be at a restart. There is some theorists who say maybe it was not asteroid.
You've invented a new word.
We could extrapolate that, but we're
asteroid.
Not going to.
I like that.
Asteroid. And some people are saying maybe it wasn't asteroids that triggered some of the massive extinctions in the past, but instead, a CPE. So that's what.
Do you hear a whistle in the background?
Well, actually, it's my alarm, which is the sound of a flying saucer landing.
It is. Is somebody trying to break into your house?
No. It's my cell phone telling me you better be awake by now.
I love that. But yeah, you don't want to miss it. And it is 3 in the morning where you are right now, 3:14. Mm-hmm. So the story I had to lead in with you about what happened in South America, have you been following that story?
Yes.
Tens of millions of people left in the dark. Power was out for 14 hours. They're not sure exactly what happened. I'm going to tell you what my guess is. Some nation is experimenting with hacking and shutting down power grids. That's my guess.
Fully agree.
You think so?
Absolutely, yes.
Yep.
It's the cheapest thing that's to come.
And that is another unfortunate part of all of this scenario, the hacking possibilities of just shutting down the power grid by getting into it.
I was given the honor 2 months ago by the FBI to attend a conference down by Raleigh, about 150 agents, whose primary task is related to cybersecurity issues. And, George, I'm actually feeling a little bit of optimism. And times in the past, you and I have talked, and it's been like, is anybody doing anything? And we were both lamenting, no.
Right.
Well, FBI and others, I got another one I could tell you about later, they're taking it seriously. In fact, the deputy director of the FBI actually said to the audience, if we do not do our job, read Fortune's book, because you're going to find out how your families are going to be living the day after.
Did you wake them up? Maybe, hopefully through us, but it was you that did this. But did they finally say, we've heard about William Fortune, we've read his books, this is real stuff?
I don't want to wrap hubris around myself and say it was me. It's been a lot of people. It's George, how many people do you reach, you know, with your program? And we've been talking about that for years.
Yep.
Dr. Peter Pry and the commission, a couple of members of Congress who are on top of things, like Mark Meadows.
Well, you got Peter Pry on our program. And
well,
he's been
Peter
on several times.
Peter Pry got me into the subject. And I mean, that guy's the godfather, in
yep.
my opinion.
How close are we to legislation, first of all, William, of getting this done?
Finally. The former president put out some executive order related to CME that was, to use another acronym, pure BS. All right. The current president, Trump, put out, I think you and I even talked about it briefly, mm-hmm. back in March, he put out a really powerful executive order ordering various branches of government to respond within 90 to 120 days to start setting up initial plans. So, I mean, they're not actually out there hard-hatting it yet and doing the things that are necessary. But I do know somebody in the administration, and it's the president is taking this very seriously. The problem is Congress is gridlocked.
On everything.
Yeah. You have the snake chasing its tail. While the real stuff that needs to be taken care of is being ignored, and this is one of the biggest.
They need to look at what happened in South America last weekend and this could be us. Here's our wake-up call. Thank God we didn't get hit, but we need to fix this and fix this right now because this is real. Well, now, whether somebody hacked them or something else happened, who knows at this point, but the part is it went down.
It looks like a hack.
I think so, too.
Well, let's go to American territory. Puerto Rico is American territory, and it's been almost 2 years. There are still parts of Puerto Rico without electricity.
Because of the hurricanes?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the bureaucratic stupidity, blundering, arrogance. Remember the mayor of San Juan denouncing the president and, you know, you're not helping us. While stacked up behind her, remember, were hundreds of FEMA boxes? They got most of the grid back up. It's been mostly an Army project, the engineering department. And then it went back down again. I mean, if you're going to live in the hurricane zone, build to deal with hurricanes. Puerto Rico got wiped out. They're still not fully functional.
William Fortune with us. His latest book is called 48 Hours. He's got several others that are all very important on this subject. William, let's start with EMP, first of all. Explain what that is and how it could be dangerous to the grid.
Well, let's go to EMP 101.
You got it.
Okay. Electromagnetic pulse. It is produced by detonating a relatively low-yield nuclear weapon. You don't need some megabomb. Something around 50 to 100 K, which is small. Horrible as it is, I mean, Hiroshima was about 12 to 15 K. Detonate that 250 miles above the Earth's atmosphere. The electrostatic discharge cascades down to the Earth's surface from the detonation of the bomb, intensifying as it's traveling at the speed of light. Hits the Earth's surface, and all of the hundreds of millions of miles of wiring out there instantly get hit with an electrical overload. It blows the grid offline. It overloads, particularly your high transmission lines, those aluminum towers with those big lines. Oh, they're gone. They are literally exploding off the pylons. We're without power. Estimates from within the industry in a DOE report indicate 80% of our power grid would still be offline after 5 years.
Now, 5 years, and how many people could die after that?
I attended a conference some years ago of people who work in the industry, I mean, experts on this issue. And there was a team there that was running down what happens to us. And the estimated casualty rate in America would be close on to 90%.
90% of the whole. And just so folks know, you don't die from the direct EMP.
No.
You die from the ancillary things that happen without having electricity.
Well, let's go to what I would call Maslow's hierarchy of needs in an EMP. Instantly, your water supply is gone. Any major city, you lose your pumping facilities, you've lost
that's
clean water.
Your banking system is down.
Everything is down. Within sanitation is down. The
stores, the food stores are down.
I was just looking something up the other day on that. That, you know, your major markets all have heavy-duty backup generators built into them, because if they totally lose power after X amount of time, any food requiring refrigeration or freezing is condemned.
Yep.
We're talking millions of dollars in just one big supermarket.
In the panic, I know when a local meteorologist in a city says, we're going to have a big snowstorm tomorrow, folks. People hit the stores. The shelves are empty. It's unbelievable because they can't stock it fast enough. And that's just with a weather alert.
Down here in the south, it's 2 inches of snow.
Same thing.
I actually chuckle over that. But if the game's real, your supermarkets are going to not just be lines of people buying bread. It's going to be mobs snatching anything they can grab. First, of course, to go will be bottled water, baby food, things like that. And then the whole place just starts.
Exactly.
And how does the market sell it? They can't. All the market can do at that point would just simply be open the doors.
Now, who is capable at this point of launching an EMP attack against us?
Oh, gee, people who know how to blow up oil freighters.
Mm-hmm. Whoever they may be.
George, aren't you appalled that people in the EU are saying, well, you really haven't proven that Iran did it?
We talked about that last night with Jerry Corsi. There's two fronts on that. One is we don't want another Gulf of Tonkin episode.
No,
or a false flag. I mean, there are people that want us in a war with Iran. There is no question about it. And they could be players in this situation to speed things up a little bit. I'm not so sure Iran would be this stupid to do this.
Well, There's an old saying about never underestimate stupidity, therefore you'll never be disappointed.
But in terms of who could do it today, is South Korea capable of doing something like launching an EMP attack?
Oh, North Korea has been capable for years. And I remember, yet again, you and I were talking, it must have been about a year ago, when North Koreans had put out a video showing the United States being EMP'd.
That's right. And Kim was laughing about it.
And they're all laughing about it. Look at the panic in Hawaii. Where for about 5 minutes, it looked real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, take shelter. And what was everybody doing? Running around.
Yeah.
Take China and Russia off the map directly because of what's known as MAD, Mutual Assured Destruction.
Exactly. They launch, we launch, just like that.
Yeah. You get us, we get you. You got a nut job in North Korea. Did you see where this guy threw some general, ticked him off? So he threw him into a tank loaded with piranhas?
He has done that to people who have fallen asleep at his meetings. The latest, which apparently is not true, was that those involved in his meeting with President Trump, because the meeting didn't go well for either party, he had them executed, his staff. Apparently, that's not true. But who knows what this guy is capable of doing?
Well, he kills people with mortars, throwing them to tigers. Now, you put a nuclear weapon into that person's hands, that's something to worry about.
Yeah, because, again, you don't know how suicidal these people are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm convinced the pilot of that missing MH370 plane that went down with 200-plus people, I think the pilot tanked that plane. I think he committed suicide. So what if you have that kind of a person as a leader of a country?
Very good analysis on that incident in Atlantic Magazine, which you can get online. Very, very good study. And, yeah, the plane crash a couple of years ago in the French Alps, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I'm depressed. My girlfriend left me. I'll ram the plane into the mountain. Well, the insanity in Kim's family.
And what about a rogue nation that puts a missile on a boat and, you know, comes down under the Pacific Ocean, gets as close as they can to us, and launches it into the atmosphere?
I got to reemphasize, George, to those listening, this is real-world scenarios. George and I are not just...
We're not making this up.
We're not making this up. This is in very authoritative reports, the congressional studies of 04, 08, and the most recent one. All have scenarios. You take a Scud missile, load it on a container ship, wander around a little bit, get within a couple hundred miles of the coast, very low tech, point it up, launch it, and if you want, you can blow the ship up afterwards so there's no fingerprints. And 10 minutes later, you and I are back 1,000 years.
Yep, absolutely.
This is real stuff.
That's an EMP, folks. Now, what about the coronal mass ejection? That's a big X flare from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in the 1800s with the Carrington event, where the only thing we had at the time was the telegraph system, so we lucked out there. And what was it, a couple years ago, William, we lucked out when another one went off the side of the sun, and had it been directly aimed at us, we would have had a problem?
All right. You picture the sun as like a grapefruit, and Earth is a little marble about 50 yards out, circling around. What's the probability of something blowing off of the sun and actually directly hitting us? Infinitesimal. But,
it happens.
It happens. But if you go across 50, 75 years, where every several days a CME is escaping from the sun's surface.
Bill, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. William Forstgen, 48 Hours, his latest book. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, back with William Forstgen, author of the latest book, 48 Hours, which is a good read, kind of scary, though. William, has Hollywood approached you yet about turning any of these into movies?
You've been asking me that for 10 years, and I can finally say yes.
Perfect.
I can't tell you who, you know how that
I
works.
know, I get that. But,
but,
are you happy with it?
oh, gosh, initially, no, but very much so, yes, now. I just talked to the producer several days ago.
Now make sure they write in a part of a broadcaster announcing the flare coming this way.
I wrote you into 48 hours with that.
Did you really?
Yeah,
I
yeah, there's a little
part
in there in which they're trying to shut down information, and somebody says, well, this guy that runs this midnight radio show, he's already talking about it, and it's out there. There's nothing we can do about it.
How about that?
I couldn't resist putting you in.
How about that? Well, back to the solar flares and the CMEs. How big is big, do you think?
Gosh, the CPE is the big one.
That would be an X what?
Beyond X. It's on a different frequency. The magnetosphere is God's blanket around the Earth. Life would not exist without that magnetic field that protects us from gamma rays, so many other things, even radiation emanating from distant stars that have exploded. But what a CME, coronal mass ejection, does is kind of picture a balloon. The balloon is the magnetosphere, and you push your finger in, and it distorts.
Right.
CME distorts the magnetosphere, and then if a CPE happens concurrent or right after that, there's no barrier. You see, the magnetosphere will usually stop a CPE, but if it's all distorted, it blows through, and you're talking about thousands of rads per square meter within a matter of seconds.
So it's like your force field has been pulled down, or your shield.
Right. And 200 to 400 rad will usually prove to be either you're darn sick, you're going to die. 1,000 plus, you pass out within a matter of minutes and you're dead. And that could be either a regional experience. A couple of people are speculating that it happened over North America, the northern part of North America, about 14,000 years ago.
Now, does it keep coming? I mean, does the whole planet, as the planet revolves and rotates, does it keep hitting it?
It would be like a garden hose.
Oh, geez.
And, or it could just be a burst.
Which would be better to us, I would guess, as bad as it is.
Except for whomever is
on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it could be a burst. It could be a garden hose. It really could be a game ender. What are the probabilities? Well, I have a character in the novel say when you have all of infinity of space and all the time, somebody somewhere is getting it today, and today is our turn.
If we were going to get hit by something, an EMP or a CME, do you have preference?
That's like the...
It's like saying, how do you want to die?
Yeah, you want to drown or you want to burn?
Or suffocate or something, yeah.
Yeah, I think Robert Frost wrote a cute little poem about that. It doesn't matter. And though a CME is a global event, which would trigger chaos, an EMP against us would take us off the playing field as a world power, and then things would devolve for us.
But we have one thing that they don't have like we do right now. And I'm tired the Russians do, but our subs.
Yes.
And we would launch. As a matter of fact, I think our subs have been instructed to launch if they don't hear from the mainland in a certain time. If they have a communication problem, I think they launch.
Yes, there is a protocol for that, at least according to my friends who share unclassified stuff with me. They say, yes, after X number of days, particularly if there's been a crisis going on. In 1 second after, towards the end, I have my main character meet an Army officer who is coming back through the area. And the Army officer boasts. He says, we gave it to them. Their entire country is glass and, you know, vaporized, to which my main character then says, Well, what the hell difference does that make for us?
That's right.
And that's, there is, in a sense, no retaliation that can culminate in something, and one might say positive. It's just, we're going to make you suffer with us.
Let's hope two things happen. One, humanity understands the potential dangers of these caused by an EMP, us, and we never, ever do that. And we get this world going again as a world. And then we get the grid insulated against the solar flare. So let's talk about that for a second. Technically, okay, how easy is it to protect the power grid?
Very easy indeed. The two things, the two quick fixes, are one, what are known as SCADAs. SCADAs are all of the hundreds of millions of little electrical switching systems that have a computer chip in them. A very quick analogy, 60 years ago, your town needed more water. You called up old Charlie at the dam and said, "Hey, Charlie, open up gate number 3. Charlie isn't there anymore. It's a SCADA. It's a $2 computer chip that you just hit from your central control in town, and it throws a lever, and it opens the dam. Those things are fragile. They pop. They're gone. Second thing is better insulators. Nobody in their right mind today would have a 65-inch screen TV and everything else without a circuit breaker system. But the circuit breaker system is not quick enough to handle the surge coming through from an EMP. We just had a lightning storm here this evening, and sometimes I'll pull the plug if it's looking really bad. But an EMP, a CME, surges through so quick, by the time the circuit breakers are all popping, not just in your home, but on the big lines themselves, the damage has already been done.
But it's fixable.
It's eminently fixable. It's
how long would it take time wise if we made a full scale commitment to insulate the grid? How long is the project?
3 to 5 years.
Well, we could get hit within 3 to 5 years, so we got to start right now.
Well, Dr. Pry, it's the only thing I disagree with Dr. Pry. Dr. Price says it could be done for $2 to $5 billion. I argue it's more likely going to, anything typical like this, it's going to be $50 to $75 billion minimum. And some people might go, "Whoa, well, look how much money we throw down the toilet bowl every day, like right, sending power."
Well, there's also $21 trillion missing that they've hidden.
Yeah, exactly.
And take the money out of there.
And if you divide the number of citizens into that, it's infinitely cheaper than what you're paying for home or auto insurance. And this is an insurance policy for life.
Absolutely. Now, in the book, 48 Hours, you've kicked it up a notch or two in terms of the size of the CME type that could hurt us. Tell us about this one, because I haven't heard, nor do they talk too much about this.
George, you might recall the conversation that triggered the book started in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
When you were visiting Asheville several years
right,
ago, and a conversation came up about, suppose we had prior warning, like with a CME, and I remember saying, "Oh, no, I'm getting pulled back in again. That's a hell of a book."
Exactly.
I can remember even talking with you about it later. The extent of what a CPE could do, there's nothing you can do to stop. There's really not anything major you could do to save the vast majority of the population.
They're very rare, right?
They're very rare. It's believed that there might have been one in the year 775 AD. Chinese astronomers recorded that the sun suddenly became extremely bright. It looked like part of it was blowing off. A CPE, its initial hit will be a significant magnification of the sun's intensity. If you got magnetosphere, you're safe. But if you don't have the magnetosphere, start praying.
Is there a catalyst or something that kicks it out of the sun?
We're not sure. It is a type of solar storm that cooks up deep within the sun, works to the surface, has to overcome the, the solar gravity is immense. So it would have to break free of that, and then it travels at just about the speed of light.
Now, when it hits you, does it vaporize you?
No.
Okay, so it's like a CME in one respect. It does not catch the world on fire or anything, does it?
No, but you will be, if you were holding a radiation detector, it would suddenly go off the scale.
Right. Or if you were holding a lightning bolt, would it affect that?
Nope. Same way with EMP and CME.
Okay. All right.
But it would be literally within a matter of minutes, people would be dying on the surface.
Because of?
The intensity of the radiation.
Okay.
600.
Would they, like, cook from within?
Yeah, it's just your whole body is, particularly your blood supply is just traumatized, and the cells in your blood system are destroyed.
Would they be melted, or would you see a body lying there?
Oh, no. You would see a terrible-looking body lying there, because with the rupturing of blood vessels and all that, well, I don't think people want to go into detail. It would look bad.
And if you're in your house, are you shielded from this?
A little bit, but unlike a nuclear bomb going off where it's pop, hit, meaning if you're within line of sight and you're close enough, you get hit with a radiation dose that will get you. But that's a fraction of a second. Imagine that level of radiation pouring in for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours.
Now, in terms of an asteroid that could hit us, you know, that's a planet killer, too, depending on the size of the asteroid.
I think the odds are far higher for CPE doing this.
Than an asteroid strike?
Yeah. Well, remember, George, 30 years ago, you tried to talk about an asteroid. People laughed at you like you were wearing a tinfoil hat. Now we take it very seriously.
Oh, yeah. They don't laugh about those anymore.
No. The incident in Russia a couple of years ago, for example.
Yep. That's right. It blew up in the atmosphere, but it was still hurt. 1,400 people got injured from the concussion.
Yeah, it was estimated to have the strength of a 100K bomb, about 8 times stronger than Hiroshima. But fortunately, it blew in the upper atmosphere. The shockwave, it blew out every window in one city. 1,400 people were hurt.
And it doesn't have to take a very big asteroid to do that.
Not at all. 40-50 meters across would be rather catastrophic.
So if you were going to bet that this could happen to us, EMP, CME, what are the bigger ones, asteroid strike, which do you think is more possible?
Gosh, it's a bit like, am I going to drown, die by fire?
I know.
Get trapped by some government bureaucrat. I would prioritize it as EMP and CME are at the top of my list. CME, because it's inevitable. It happens every 100 or
it does happen.
Years.
Exactly.
EMP, there has yet to be a weapon system built by man that at some point, some crazy has not gone out there and said, I want to see if this thing works. Then lower back on the scale, a planet-killing asteroid, a regional-killing asteroid, a coronal proton ejection.
Isn't it something how our lives can be disrupted by things out of our control, but yet we have the ability to try to at least prevent it from being horrible by just simply fixing the power grid? Now, an asteroid, that's something else. If that hits the planet, protecting the power grid's not going to help at all anyway.
The frustrating thing is that we have the technology now that if we detected a large enough asteroid, meaning a near-Earth miss that we can detect, and we can get to it a year ahead of time, it doesn't take much to divert its trajectory. You just put a couple of rocket motors on it.
If you can. I'd rather divert it than blow it up, because all the pieces could come and hit us.
Yeah, that's exactly it. If you divert it even a fraction of a degree in its trajectory at that point, add that up across the year, and it's a near miss.
Bill Forster with us. We're going to take calls with William next hour about the things we've been talking about, so get ready to make your calls. We'll do it for the final hour ahead. When you're ready to announce the movie, would you come back on and tell us about it?
Oh, George, I'll be calling you and your assistant Tom immediately with, hey, we got green-lighted.
That's great. I know, remember one of our guests, Steve Alton, who wrote a book about Meg, these huge megalithic sharks. And he got it turned into a movie. And gosh, he was so excited. I think they're going to do another one now.
That was a disturbing film.
Scary.
Yes.
Well, yours will be scary, too. I can't see yours having a happy ending.
I'm laughing because you're right. And if you don't keep a light sense about life, you'll go crazy thinking about some of this
stuff. Yep. You sure would. You sure would. And you've been doing, how many years you been at this now? I mean, One Second After came out in 2011, but I'm sure you were doing this way before that.
I got involved back in 2004 when the first congressional report came out and it collapsed. Nobody paid attention to it. Newt Gingrich pushed me to write something. God bless him, whether people love him or not. And I started talking to members of Congress and Dr. Pry, and the answer was always the same. There's no popular culture awareness that is accurate. And that was the job they gave me.
What is Newt doing these days?
I think pulling his hair out. A lot of frustration about the gridlock, the unending, you lied, no, you lied about me lying about you lying. It is nauseating.
I guess he's a consultant or something like that.
Yes. I mean, Newt has access to the door of the White House. Of course, he's as brilliant as ever. He puts out a book or two a year. And he sees us dancing on the edge of the abyss because of our stupidity.
All right, stay with us. Well, William, we're going to come back and take calls next on Coast to Coast AM.